Our Bible reading today is from Matthew 2, 1 to 12, and it will be read by Nicola Bundock. Over to you, Nicola, for our reading.
Good morning. The reading today is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah. For from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were, what joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nicola, very much. Before we come to our talk, we're going to sing the carol, "As with Gladness Men of Old," directly relates to our reading. It's a carol in which we ask that God would lead us to be closer to him each day. And as we come to listen to his word, that's what we want, isn't it? That he would lead us to be closer to him. We sing, "As with gladness, men of old."
Bye.
Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this amazing incident in Jesus' life. As we look at it, familiar perhaps, but as we look at it, may it ring fresh to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you ever took part in a nativity at school or at a church. I never reached the heights of any of the main roles like King, Magi or shepherds or Joseph, and certainly not Mary. I never got quite to those roles. I was never picked. But I still remember thinking, what an extraordinary story this is. And in school nativities, often there are so many extra characters just to get as many kids in as possible that sometimes we lose the actual way that the story is told. And here in Matthew 2, we have the arrival of the Magi, possibly from Babylon, as they come. But it's important that we understand and learn from their example. We're going to look today just simply at what they showed in the way they acted. It will also point us, of course, to the Lord Jesus, who is the true hero and centre of this story. It's one of the difficulties, actually, isn't it, of a school or church nativity, that the baby tends to be a doll plonked in at the last moment almost, as if they're almost an additional extra. And all the rest of the cast are the ones that everybody's come to see. But in this story, we'll see that it's Jesus that is at the centre, and that the wise men recognise that as they travel. So what we're going to look at is their commitment to see Jesus. And their commitment is shown, first of all, in the distance they travel. After verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The first thing to note is how far they travel. They travel a long distance. They travel, as I said, possibly or maybe probably from Babylon, a place of exile for the people of God in times past. So it's likely, or at least possible, but probably likely, that they had some knowledge of the scriptures. Because notice, when they come and ask about in Jerusalem, they ask this question, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Now, they see his star when it rose and have come to worship him. It may have been that it's just the star that is enough for them, but it is also very possible that actually they had had some of the scriptures, because actually one of the things that happened as the exiles went in into Babylon, they took the scriptures with them. We know that. We've seen that in the Old Testament, that in the exile, other people in Babylon came to believe as well. And so when these people journey, they journey a long way. The star is what motivates them to start the journey. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. But notice they recognize that he's King of the Jews, but that they, non-Jews, should worship him. We'll come back to that in a minute. But the whole point here is that at the very beginning of this story, we see that Jesus is not just for the Jews. His coming is for all people. And the fact that they recognize that as the king, he's been born King of the Jews, he doesn't have to come into that. He is born King of the Jews, that he is still the one that they should worship. It's vital we understand this, that they showed their commitment in the distance they travel, but we'll see that the distance they travel has one purpose. Secondly, they show their commitment in their willingness to ask. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, the Magi sensibly go to Jerusalem. Where was the king of the Jews likely to be born? In the town which was the centre of Israel's life. And actually, that's where the star guides them to. So as the star guides them to Jerusalem, it's not like, oh, silly people, they got it wrong. The star guides them to this place. And in this place, they begin to ask questions. And what we see as they ask these questions is that obviously they haven't managed to find him yet. Of course not, because he's in Bethlehem. But they're not giving up. They're committed to finding him. Now, it's not quite clear whether they were aware of the dismay of Herod and all Jerusalem about when they asked these questions. But they know that they have to carry on. They're committed to making sure they see Jesus. And in that, they're a bit of a model for us. The scriptures are crystal clear that actually the sign that we are Christian is our continuing commitment to want to see Jesus. Now that will happen either when we die or when he returns. We looked at that a little bit in the last couple of weeks. But you see, as they are committed to wanting to see Jesus, so should we in our lives be committed to wanting to see Jesus. We saw that, didn't we, where we were told in 2 Thessalonians that we must live our lives now in the light of Jesus' return. So here we are, we see their commitment to see Jesus by the distance they travel, by their willingness to ask questions, to make sure they get to see this baby. And the prophecies that they hear tell them that they're on their way to Bethlehem. But they tell more that this baby will be a ruler who will shepherd God's people. We see their commitment to see Jesus in the distance they travel, their willingness to ask. Thirdly, their willingness to continue. Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now notice, when they interact with Herod and he says, go and search carefully for the child, that was probably their expectation of what they were going to have to do. But as they leave Jerusalem, they find that God has honoured their commitment. The star reappears and leads them to the exact place. What a gracious God that is, isn't it? Even though they knew that Bethlehem was now the place that they had to go to, the star could have led them to Jerusalem and they could have found out that Bethlehem was where they were supposed to go, and they could have got there and then they would have looked for Jesus carefully, just as Herod said, and found him. But no, in the graciousness of God, the star continues and takes them all the way to Bethlehem and to the exact place. There is a reminder of the graciousness of God here. That means that as we continue to seek him, he often guides us and meets with us. He guided the wise men to the exact place. And you and I will have that experience, I hope, where we're following the Lord and he guides us to just the right place where we meet the people we need to meet, or we hear the things we need to hear. And we're so encouraged because God has put us in the right place at the right time for our own benefit or for the benefit of others. In this case, it's for the benefit of the Magi, isn't it? They don't have to diligently search. Why? Because God in his graciousness leads them to the exact place where the child is. And this is why we're sure that this isn't immediately after the birth, because it's not where the baby was, it's where the child was. So a little time has passed when this happens. And although in most nativities the wise men arrive and the Magi arrive into the stable, that wouldn't have been the case. So we see their commitment to see Jesus. They travel a distance, they ask the right questions, they continue. But then we see their commitment to Jesus shows in their worship. Verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I think we need to stop here for a minute and just recognize what they do first. They bow down and worship him. And notice from verse 2, that was always their intention. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. That's give him the due he is worth. And this whole picture is that they came to worship Jesus, not primarily to give him presents. It is not the giving of presents that is the central of what they have come to do. It is their worship of Jesus. And it's so important we understand that, that actually, that all of us, when we recognize who Jesus is, when we see who Jesus is, have to come to this place where we worship him. Worship means giving him the honor that is due his name. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means recognizing who he is, first of all, but then it also means living in the light of that. We've looked recently at the book of James in our blogs, and in there we saw that actually God says this. Religion, that is, living out our faith in James, that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. As the wise men come to worship, they come to remind us that we fall at Jesus' feet. But in falling at Jesus' feet, we recognize that worshipping him means serving him and others, recognizing how great he is. And it's only then, after they have worshipped, then they open their treasures. For them, they have done the thing they primarily came to do. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star, and when it rose, and have come to worship him. Now, these presents, of course, are full of meaning. Frankincense that would have been offered in the temple by the priests as a reminder that God and man can be united, and Jesus came to unite God and man, as we know, I hope. The gift of gold that spoke of his kingship, his lordship. The gift of myrrh that speaks of his death. Myrrh was how they embalmed people. It was a reminder that this baby, who was King of the Jews, was to die. The gifts point to who he is and remind us why we should worship him. Christmas reminds us that Jesus is worthy of our praise and worthy of us living our lives for him. And then finally, they show their commitment to Jesus by their willingness to listen and obey. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. They could have imagined all sorts of reasons to return to Herod, couldn't they? They could have thought, well, he's an important guy. We want to keep in his good books, etc., etc. But no, here they are, listening and then obeying. The scriptures, as we've seen recently, are full of that truth, that actually listening to the word is great, but only if it leads us to obedience. As they listened to the dream that God gave them, they are obedient to what God has said to them. Now, God can speak in miraculous ways. Of course he can. And there are times, even today, where he may speak to us in a way through a dream or whatever. But his normal and usual way of speaking is through his word. That's where we listen and obey. Their return by a different route reminds us that true worship will always involve us listening and obeying. We have the privilege of being those who know far more than the Magi ever did, and yet their determination to see Jesus, to worship him, is a challenge and an example to each of us. So as in the next few days we enter 2021, will you commit yourself to be, as a follower of Jesus, someone who seeks him each day and worships him by listening and obeying, doing what he would have you do, so that he will be glorified in you and in our church family in 2021. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the Magi give us such an example to follow. We pray that you will help us to do that this year. In Jesus' name. Amen.